Well, what a great way to start our series, Suburban Legends. And you know, there's a lot of reasons why we love our life here in the suburbs. I know when Mandy and I, we were living in rural Kentucky, way out in the middle of nowhere, a place that might as well be called Mayberry. You know, it was one of those towns, Wilmore, Kentucky, where I went to seminary, and we're there, and it was one of those things where there was nothing around us. And so when we found out we're coming back to Georgia and moving back to the suburbs, we were excited. Because here in the suburbs, we love our lifestyle here. We've got like a life of convenience and comfort. We got the great neighborhoods and the great schools and really everything kind of at our fingertips. Every restaurant we can imagine. We love our life in the suburbs. But also here in the suburbs, what I've found is that there's also what I like to call some suburban legends going around that we like to believe about our lives. And you've all heard these things before. They're kind of like urban legends, but they're things that we believe here in the suburbs. And we really hold it really grabs hold of our life. So some of the things are like this. Good fences make good neighbors. You've heard that before, right? Or the grass is always greener. Or my kids just need to be happy. Oh, there's all sorts of things, like beliefs are a personal thing. We're going to be talking about a lot of different suburban legends that are out there today. But what I've found is that these suburban legends that we so often believe in our lives can get us in a rut. Maybe we don't even realize it because everybody seems to believe it, and we just grab hold of these suburban legends as truth. And so what we're going to be doing in this series is we're going to be looking at the biblical truths behind these, or really about these suburban legends, to see what Jesus and the Lord says in the middle of these. So I think it's going to be a really helpful, fun series. So feel free to invite some people and tell them about it. I think there's going to be a lot of things for us, and we're going to have some fun, like you saw that rap video. We're going to have a lot of fun in this series. So there's one suburban legend, though, that I really think all of us deal with. All of us face this everywhere we go. In fact, most of us, whether from time to time or whether all the time, we believe it with our lives. In fact, at first it seems like it's kind of harmless, but the more we kind of buy into it, the more we kind of live into this suburban legend, the more destructive it becomes. And the suburban legend we're talking about today is this: the busier I am, the better. The busier I am, the better. We've all heard that before. It's one of those things we don't usually say it out loud. We don't usually admit, like, okay, the busier I am, the better. We complain about it, but most of us really believe that the busier I am, the better. And so here's what I've noticed, and it's one of those things where it starts out a little bit subtle. It starts out very subtle, and you don't even realize that it's happening. Most of us, we graduate from high school or college, and we get our first job, and we enter into the work field, and what happens? We want to climb our way up the corporate ladder, right? Because we want to get the next promotion. We want to get the next opportunity. We want whatever it is, we want to get the salary that we want, and so we get busy working really hard, and there's nothing wrong with that. We start working really hard so that we can do really well. But then a lot of times, and sometimes this is in different orders, sometimes we get married and we want to be the best spouse that we can be. And so not only are we busy at work, but we know we want to have a really good marriage. So we invest a lot in our spouse and in that relationship. And so we're busy at work, but we're also trying to be a great husband or wife. And then maybe down the road we have a child or a couple children, and all of a sudden we know that we were already busy at work and we're busy trying to be a great spouse, but then we know, we've seen in so many different situations where you've said, when I'm a parent, I'm not going to be like that, or I want to be like this. And so you know how important it is to do a good job being a parent. And so you do everything you can. You read all the books. You go and you get all the videos and you watch all the videos of like how to be the best parent. And you talk to all your friends about what they say, or what everybody says about being a great parent. And everybody's got an opinion about it. And so you start listening to what everybody says, and they tell you, you know, first thing you got to do, go to Toys R Us, go to Babies R Us, go to wherever. And you need to get all the gear for your baby. We realized this we were waiting on Peyton to come into the world and everything. We were like buying everything, you know, and it was we went to the section with strollers, and you know, we started looking at them, and we have to get, like, you know, there's the kind with the hydraulics and the roll bar and, you know, all the different stuff on it, and like the body armor that your kids, you know, you put them around, so because you want to make sure it's the safest stroller that they make and that has ever been created, like a tank. And so you have to get all that stuff. And so you get busy doing all that. And then by the time your kids are about four, you want to make sure that they learn about three languages. You know, you want to make sure that they're keeping up with everybody else. And so you enroll them in this really awesome, advanced, private preschool. because you want to make sure your kids don't get behind and they don't go to college, they don't miss going to college because of the decision that you made when they were four. And so we get busy, you know, doing all these things. And then when your kids get a little bit older, then all of a sudden you start looking around and you have to realize that you have to keep up with your neighbor's kids. You don't want your kids to be left behind. Your kids are involved, your neighbor's kids are involved in all these activities. And so you say, you know what? They're doing it, and so we're going to do it too. And so you sign them up for all these activities and all these things. And before you know it, you start looking around and realizing, you know what? Not only my kids, but I've got to keep up with my neighbors. I've got to do what they do. They just got a new roof on their house, and it is awesome. And I think, even though there's nothing wrong with my roof, we've got to get a new roof. It would be so much better. In fact, the neighbors down the road said they might start looking for another house. And so I think we might need a new house. And then they, you know, you hear of somebody else that gets a condo or a timeshare at the beach. And you say, you know what? I think that that's what's going to make me happy. And so we do all these things to and get busy, busy, busy. And then at work, because we're trying to maintain a certain lifestyle, we say, I've got to work even harder to maintain all of that. And one day you wake up and you realize that it's slowly snuck up on you, that suddenly you realize that your life is out of control and you didn't mean for it to be. And so you've got two mortgages. Your kids are crazy busy with activities. You've got a crazy work schedule. You know, you've got a boat that you don't have time to take out to the lake. And your kids are involved in baseball and gymnastics and ballet and, you know, music camp and everything else, underwater basket weaving and all that stuff, you know, everything that kids do. And you keep telling yourself, you look at your spouse and you keep telling yourself that someday things are going to get better. Someday things are going to slow down. And you find that as you go along, they don't. You know, King Solomon once said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4, he said this, and Solomon was one of the wisest men to ever live. And he said this, "Then I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind." I think most of us know what it's like to chase the wind in our lives, to chase the wind and run after so many things, because so many of us have obsessed over this suburban legend that says the busier I am, the better. One time Jesus was invited to someone's house. During his time, he was invited to someone's house and to really be the guest of honor. And it was a really exciting thing, should have been an exciting thing for this family to host Jesus in their home. But as they came, they weren't living in the suburbs, but they kind of were struggling with a very similar thing, where one person was facing something, this mantra that says, the busier I am, the better. So we're going to read about that. It's a story of Mary and Martha, and it's in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And as you turn in your Bibles, we'll also have the words on the screen, and we also offer free Bibles on the connection point. So on your way out, if you don't have one, feel free to grab one. Let that be our gift to you. But let's stand this morning in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word and hear the story of Mary and Martha. Here's what it says. It says in verse 38, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was," what does it say? Distracted. "Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" Notice what Jesus says here. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. You can have a seat. Well, the story of Mary and Martha, I have to tell you, I think most of us live our lives like Martha. In fact, I see a lot of what Martha's dealing with and what I go through so many times in my life. Because Martha's not a bad person. She just has kind of lost focus on what's really important. She got really, really busy with all the things that's going on, and she lost focus on what was most important. Did you notice in the scripture who invited Jesus to dinner? It was Martha. Martha invites Jesus for dinner, wants Jesus to come over. And this is like, this is a big deal. Usually when you invite somebody over to your house to have a meal, usually you're doing it because you want to spend time with them, right? If I invite you to my house and I say, hey, I want you to come over and we're going to have dinner. And then I go in another room, you kind of be like, this is strange. Let's get out of there, you know? And it was probably a very similar thing for Jesus. Like, what's going on? You invited me to dinner. And so this is like Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and all that stuff, but it's God in the flesh. And this is an even more important thing, because Jesus could have spent time with anybody. Jesus, like, everybody was wanting to be around Jesus, and Jesus chose to accept the invitation and come to the house of Mary and Martha, and Jesus is right there, ready to meet with them. But Mary lost focus, and she got really distracted by, in all of her busyness, by all the things she needed to do. She saw all the things that she needed to accomplish, and there were dishes to clean, you know, there were plates to prepare. There was another email she probably had to send. Not really. There's all these things. She probably maybe had another appointment coming up, and all these things are swimming around, and she's looking at her to-do list of everything that has to be accomplished. And then she looks over at her sister, and it's like completely contrasting. And her sister is just living it up with Jesus. She's sitting there by Jesus, listening to Jesus, and here she is doing all the work. And she probably looked at that and said, here I am doing all this work, and all my sister's doing is having all the fun. And you can just see the steam coming out of her ears, right? Maybe you've been in a place like that before where you felt like that, where I'm doing all the work and everybody else is having all the fun. This is kind of what Martha was dealing with. And so as the steam is coming out of her ears, she says to Jesus, Jesus, tell my sister to come help me. I mean, wouldn't we all do that? It's like, look, I'm like doing all this work. I'm trying to like get all the stuff ready, and everybody's just sitting there watching TV, you know, or whatever that may be. But that she's sitting there with Jesus, and you can even, you know, obviously they didn't know what Christianity was because Jesus had not died on the cross. But you could even hear her possibly saying, isn't that the Christian thing to do? Jesus, there's a lot of work to do. Come, tell her to come and help me. Now, the thing that we have to understand before we kind of get into what Jesus says to her is we can't misinterpret the passage here. I think one of the things that we do so many times is we think, well, maybe Jesus is celebrating laziness, so we should just sit around, or maybe all we should do is just go in our room and pray and worship and read scripture and do that all day and never get anything accomplished. That's not what it's saying. In fact, in the scriptures, obviously there's a place to be alone with God and to abide in God, as the scriptures say. But the scriptures also talk about it's bad to be lazy. We shouldn't be lazy. In fact, we're going to look at a story in just a little bit of someone who was lazy, and it wasn't a good thing. But I have to tell you, I really sympathize with Martha, and I think we probably all do, because I think there's a little Martha inside of all of us. Not don't hear a Martha voice inside of you. That'd be like one of those Snickers commercials, you know, where they say, you know, you're getting a little off course, have a Snickers. But anyway, Martha, I can sympathize with her, because she's got to get everything done. She sees everything that has to happen. And let's be honest, there's stuff that has to get done in our life. And so I understand what Martha's going through. And so Jesus isn't saying it's good to be lazy. The second thing Jesus isn't doing isn't criticizing different personality types. There's two different personality types here. One, a lot of us are a lot like Mary. Mary's more contemplative. Mary's the one that wants to just be around everybody and is about being with people and all that stuff. But Martha is the kind of get it done type. Some of us are like Martha. We just want to get it done. We're kind of like a no nonsense. We want to get the job done, get all of our chores done, and all that stuff. And Jesus isn't saying that either is better. Sometimes we miss that. Jesus isn't saying, you know, what this personality type is the one you should have. Jesus is really talking about a much bigger issue, is that Martha lost focus of what was important. You see, Martha was so busy and distracted trying to do all these things for Jesus that she almost missed what Jesus wanted to do for her. I think we do this so many times in our life where we try to do so many things for so many people, or we... Even to put this in religious context, sometimes we try to do all this stuff for God. God, I'm going to go and I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to heal the sick, and I'm going to provide for the poor, and we go out and we try to do all those things, and that's a good thing. But sometimes in our doing, we miss that Jesus wants us to be in him. And we miss what Jesus wants to do in and through us. And that's what Martha had going on with her. You know, Mandy and I, as you know, have a son who's 20 months. She filled me in on that. That's the correct thing. I told you on Easter between 1 and 2, but he's 20 months. And he loves playing outside. And it's one of those things where, almost everything the boy does is, like, want to play ball and everything. He wants somebody to play with him. In fact, he'll bring stuff to you when you're trying to do stuff and say, all right, he'll say, side, ball. And so we were having one of these moments where we went outside as a family, and we were going to play ball with Peyton outside, his favorite thing in the world. And so Peyton, though, it was so funny. We were trying to play with him, but he got so kind of happy and content and kind of sidetracked that we were out there ready to play with him. And so he was so happy in his, 20-month-old mind that he started running around. You know, we were playing with him, and all of a sudden we look, and he's just running around the yard. And we just, like, stepped back and watched him and realized, this kid's just running in circles. I mean, he was just going in circles over and over and over. And we're just like, we came out here to play with you, buddy. Like, this is, like, what you were waiting on. And you just want to run around in circles. And it was one of those things where Mandy and I just stepped back and we watched him wear himself out, just running in circles over and over and over. And I think sometimes in our lives, I think we're content to just stay busy, to just run in circles over and over and over, but we're not really going anywhere. I think so many times we do that in our life where we just stay busy running in circles, but we're not really going anywhere. And so we miss, oftentimes, as we were wanting to play with Peyton, sometimes we miss what our Heavenly Father wants us to abide in him and has a plan for us to direct our lives. Not to just run in circles, but to say, this is how I want to use you, and this is where I want to carry you, and I don't want you to miss the opportunity to abide in me. And so when people ask us so many times, how's your life going? I've said this so many times, and I wonder if you said the same thing. So many times I think we say this, I'm just staying busy, living the life, living the dream, just staying busy. And I think we say this because we think that busy is kind of code for, we got a lot going on in our lives, and it's awesome. It's kind of code for that. And so for many of us, I think we just stay busy because we feel like it's kind of like a badge of honor. It's kind of a subtle way to say, I'm busy, and because I'm really busy, I'm really important. I'm really important because I got a lot going on. Sometimes I think we say that kind of like a badge of armor, like, oh, I'm just so busy right now. And I was like, oh, me too. And we kind of have a competition about who's more busy, And we say, oh, I hate being so busy. But then we are like, but I'm more, I've got all this going on. And it's kind of ends up being one of these things where we believe that it makes us important. And so we bought the lie that busy equals important. Busy equals important. And so many times when somebody invites us to something, we feel like it's important that we're there. And so when somebody invites us, that we say to ourselves, they can't have the meeting without me. They can't have this event without me. They can't have this party without me, because after all, the party doesn't start until I get there. The meeting can't start until I get there, or whatever. And so we tell ourselves that we have to be there. And so we're willing to kind of reschedule our lives and double book our lives, and we say yes to everything that people ask us to, because we're afraid if we stop saying yes, that someday, if we say no, that somebody will stop inviting us. And there's something inside of you, and there's something inside of me that yearns to be accepted, that yearns to be wanted. And so we want people to want us to be there. And so many times we pursue that in our life, just staying busy. But the truth is, busy doesn't equal important. In reality, oftentimes busyness leads to selfishness. And it's not because we mean to, but so many times in our life, we've got so much going on in our bubble, kind of the me bubble, We've got so many things going on in our activities and all the things. And this isn't a sermon just trying to tell you, just put the big rocks in first, and then the little rocks, and then the pebbles, and time management. There's something even bigger going on. There's something even bigger going on that I think Jesus doesn't want us to miss. But so many times when we're busy, it tends to get us in this me bubble where all we can worry about is how to survive my stuff. And it makes it really difficult for us to reach out and to recognize God, or to even reach out and recognize other people. And so this is the problem with when we're living our life for just being busy. And so here's the first thing. If you're taking notes, one thing to write down is this. Busy isn't the goal of my life. Busy isn't the goal of my life. And that may seem really easy, but I think a lot of us live by that. Busy isn't the goal of my life. It's not bad to be busy, but busy isn't the goal. See, sometimes I think we just stay busy because we don't really know where we're going. You know, we're trying to figure out, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And so we kind of do like Peyton, and we run around in circles just trying to stay busy, but we're not really going anywhere. And so notice what Jesus said to Martha. He said, Martha, few things are needed. In fact, only one thing in this instant was needed. He said this, Mary has chosen what is better. So what is that? What is better? What did Mary choose? Was it she managed her time? She jumped out of the chores that she had to do? What was it that was better? I think here's the thing that Jesus looks for. And I think this is the thing that Jesus saw in Mary. He's not looking for people who are just busy. Jesus looks for two things. He looks for people who are faithful and fruitful. For people who are faithful and fruitful. That's the larger lesson here. Life isn't about being faithful. Or life isn't about being busy, busy, busy. It's about being faithful and fruitful. That's what Mary got right. See, instead of just doing all these things for Jesus and trying to do more and more and more, Mary was faithful to be in relationship with Jesus. She knew that Jesus was the source of anything that she does in our life. And she wanted to eat of Jesus. In fact, so here a math equation for you. Faithfulness plus focus in God leads to fruitfulness. Faithfulness plus focus leads to fruitfulness. But busy plus distracted leads to burnout. We've all seen that in our lives so many times, where we're busy and we're distracted and we don't know where we're going, and it leads to burnout in our lives. You know, the truth is Satan often uses our busyness to create separation in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. It's one of the easiest tools that's used to say, you know what? What Jesus died on the cross to restore your relationship with God and to help you to love one another and to make you whole. When you just stay busy, that's a wedge that Satan uses to drive between our relationship with God that creates separation and separates us from being able to love one another and keeps us so busy that we can't figure out who God's created us to be and where he's leading us. It leads us all the way back to the fall. Because as long as I'm staring at all I've got to do, all I've got to get done, I can't focus on what God wants to do in and through me right now. And so here's the thing. We live in a Martha world. We live in a Martha world where things, it's busy and there's distractions all around. And we have to fight in our lives for Mary moments. Even though we live in a Martha world, we have to fight for Mary moments where we can just be present with the Lord and be present with one another. In fact, I love opportunities. I know last year my family went to the cabin out in the mountains. And at first it's kind of like, what are we going to do? We're kind of unplugged and there's no technology and we're going to be bored, you know. But it's one of those cool opportunities of not solitude, but where everything else is kind of cut away and you're allowed to just really be present with one another. And I think we need those opportunities in our life with the Lord, and we need those opportunities with one another, not just to get away, but to carve out time in our lives to be present with people and to be present with God. But many of us struggle to hear from God, I think, because so many times we struggle to discover our purpose because we're allowing the busyness of our life to push away God's voice. It's hard to hear God when there's all this stuff going on and all we're doing is running. See, God usually won't speak over the noise in our lives. And so for us, it means we have to create room for our relationship with Jesus. We got to create room for that. We got to create room on Sundays to worship, to be alone with God and to hear the word. And we got to create time in our daily lives to get in the word and to spend time praying. Because our source, John 15, where Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we weren't created to be a human doing. We were created to be human beings who find our being in God. And out of that relationship and life that Jesus pours into us, we're therefore able to bring life to other people. It starts with that relationship. And so that's why Mary chose what was best. You know, you can't be useful to God if you're not spending time with him. So that's the first challenge I have for you, to spend time with the Lord, to be faithful to God. Because you were put on this earth, though, not just to be faithful, but also to be fruitful. Faithfulness and fruitfulness. John 15, verse 16 says this. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last." It kind of seems funny. What are you talking about fruit, Jesus? And it's not literal fruit like grapes and, you know, all that stuff. He's talking about fruit as a result of a relationship with God. The things, the evidence that we see of God doing in our lives because of our connection to him. In fact, Jesus told a story that I think is really helpful to illustrate this fruitfulness concept and why it's important we're fruitful. He tells this parable of the talents. It's known as parable of the talents or of the coins. But here's the thing. There's a landowner, and Jesus tells, and it's really a picture of our relationship with God. But he said there's this landowner who basically goes away. And he puts in charge three people in charge of his estate. And he gives one of them five talents or five bags of money. He gives one of them two talents or two bags of money, and one only gets one. And you might look at that and say, well, that's not fair. Everybody didn't get the same amount. I mean, but the thing is the owner knew something important about each individual person. And so he gives the one that received five, the landowner comes back and he finds that that person has produced five more. So now they have 10 talents that the owner has. And so when the master returns, he says to this guy who was given five and now has 10, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And then he goes to the one who he gave two talents. And the one with two talents holds up the talents and said, "Look, I've given you two more. You started with two and now you have four." And he said the same thing to him. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few. I can now give you many. Come and share in your master's happiness." And then he goes to the one who received one talent. And I think he knew something about this person. And he went to him and he says, "Well, where's the talent that I gave you?" And he said, "Well, I hid it in the ground. And I didn't do anything with it. I wanted to just make sure it just sat there and I could protect it with everything that I had because I thought you were shrewd as an owner." And so he holds out the one talent that he didn't do anything with. And the owner was really frustrated. And he said to the person, "So let me get this straight. You didn't do anything with the one talent. You just buried it. You didn't use it at all." And so he literally says this. He said, "You wicked and lazy servant." And he took the one talent away from the guy he had given one talent to, and he gave it to the one who had produced now 10 talents. And we look at this story and we're like, how does that make sense? What is that all about? And I think it's an important lesson for us, is that it's not enough to just be faithful to God. That God gives us opportunities and resources and gifts and expects us to also be fruitful with our resources, with our opportunities, and with our gifts. To be fruitful with the opportunities that God gives us. To better further God's purposes. God gives certain things to us. And if we're faithful with few, God can give us many. Opportunities, resources, whatever that may be. And that's what Jesus wants for us. Not to just be faithful, but to be fruitful. And so busy people aren't always fruitful. And so you can often find yourself running in circles your whole life, but not really accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. And so God has given every single one of us, all Christians, a particular general assignment, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is to love God and love people, and the Great Commission is to go and make disciples, to help people into growing relationship with Jesus. That's our general calling. But God also gives us specific callings and specific roles that we're to do in our sphere of influence, to use our gifts, to use our talents, to be a witness for Jesus in the world. And so as Jesus gives those things to us, he expects us to really be fruitful with the opportunities that God gives us. But the truth is, in order to do that, we have to worship like Mary. We have to worship like Mary before we can work and serve like Martha. Both are needed. We have to be alone with Jesus first. And so many times, So many times we miss that. And the suburban legend of the busier the better, what we found in our life is that it can't be our aim. It can't be an end unto itself. Busy, busy, busy doesn't equal happiness. But the biblical truth is this. The more we're faithful and the more we're fruitful, the happier we'll become and the more we'll honor God. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves before we make any decisions in our life is really two questions. Not how can I stay busy and what do I have going on, but this. Am I being faithful right now? Am I being faithful to God? And question number two, how can I be the most fruitful to fulfill God's purposes for my life? I think we can ask that in our individual life. How can I be faithful to you, God, and how can I be the most fruitful? I think it would change your family if you started asking that question and making decisions like that. God, how can we as a family be faithful to you? And how can we bear the most fruit in our lives for the kingdom in our family? What would it look like if this church said, this is what's we're going to base our decisions on? Not based on what's comfortable and convenient, but what if we said as a church, Lord, together, we want to be faithful to you. And how can we bear the most fruit in this community and to the ends of the earth? I think it would change the world. And I think it would change our lives. And I think it would change this community that we're in. And so when we get to the end of our life, when I get to the end of my life, I don't know about you, but I don't want to look back and just say, you know, I was really busy living the dream. I was just really busy in my life. I want to look back and I want to look at everything. I want the Lord to see everything that I've done. Maybe I wasn't perfect in everything that I did, but I want to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father saying to me, and I think you want this as well for your life, that you were faithful and that you were fruitful. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for your word. And we know it's challenging because, God, we know that we live like this so many times. And, God, we know that busyness isn't a bad thing because some of the most effective people for the kingdom are busy. But so, God, we pray that you wouldn't break us of our busyness. We pray that you would allow us and give us vision and clarity for where you want to lead us. God, we pray that you would give us the ability to see with your eyes how we can be the most faithful to you first. But then also, Lord, how can we be fruitful in our lives? God, I pray that all of us would be able to discern that for our lives, but also in our families, when we go to work tomorrow, in every single thing that we do, how can we be faithful and how can we be fruitful? And I pray that at the end of it all, God, that we would all hear the voice of the Father saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we know that our merits aren't based on what we do. Our relationship isn't based on accomplishing all these things for you. God, we know that ultimately your grace saves us. But God, we also know that we have an opportunity. You want us to partner with you in the world, to be on mission with you, and to have purpose that's bigger than our own sphere of influence, our own me-centric life. God, I pray that you would allow us to discover that, what our purpose is. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.